Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the States and all the way around the world. When we left off last time, we were in the New Testament book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul writes this: "Just as God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, God predestined us to adoption as sons, through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will." What I just read was Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. These are verses we must know, and in our discussion of the sovereignty of God, these are essential verses. The sovereignty of God is here. We defined the sovereignty of God as God doing whatever He pleases. In the Greek language, the end of verse 5 literally reads, "according to the good pleasure of His will." It is the good pleasure of God's will by which He chose us. That is, God, doing what He pleases, chose each and every Christian person to belong to Christ. And He did that as far back as before the foundation of the world. He chose us so that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Paul says God used His love to predestine us to be adopted by God the Father through Jesus Christ. And God did all of that for us according to the kind intention of His will, according to His good pleasure. That's God's sovereignty in action. God chooses people to belong to Him, to be His sons and His daughters. Now someone is going to say, what about people who are not Christians? Has God not chosen them? Good question. I'll take only a short period of time to tell you how I answer that question. I recognize we could justifiably spend much longer on this. First, we must be humble. None of us know whom God has chosen and whom He has not chosen. Let me repeat. None of us know whom God has chosen and whom He has not chosen. We do not know the mind of God in this regard. Second, God doesn't involve us in the decision-making process of His divine choices. Remember, God does whatever He pleases. He does not consult us. Third, our mission as believers in Jesus Christ is not to sit around and ponder whom God has chosen and whom He has not. Our mission is twofold, as the Bible has taught us. We pray for God to have chosen people we know and love, and we share with these people the gospel. We pray, we cry out to God to have chosen our loved ones, family, colleagues, and friends. This may be helpful to you, maybe not, but when I pray for the salvation from sin of people I care about, here's how I talk with God. Father, I pray that You have chosen, name of person, from before the foundation of the world, I pray that name of person will now believe in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. With that prayer, I am affirming Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, while still acknowledging my family and friends have responsibility in being rescued from their sin. They must personally believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord of their lives. We pray for the salvation from sin of others. And we share the gospel. We use our words to tell them of God's love for them, of Christ's death and resurrection providing them with forgiveness of their sins, should they choose to believe in Jesus. And we share with them our story of how Christ has transformed our lives by His grace. And not only do we use our words, but we match our words to our actions. We live before people in such a way so as to show our obedience to Christ's commands for us. This kind of living then becomes compelling for them. They are drawn to Jesus. What about people who are not Christians? Has God not chosen them? This is a good question. I think it's a fair question. It's a Bible question. It's a theological question. And let's spend more time on this later. But for now, what we need to know is God chooses people to belong to Christ according to God's good pleasure. God does whatever he pleases. We trust him and we accept his will always. Now, why have I chosen? People make choices too. And why have I chosen Ephesians 1 verses 4 and 5 to share with you? Out of all the passages on God's sovereignty in the New Testament, why this one? Well, I wanted to show you in the Bible God's choice of us. I want to show you God choosing people sovereignly. And then I want to say this. God has chosen us to be his servants and to be his servants who suffer. This is how God's sovereignty and our suffering go together. And so that you really capture this, let's return to Job's life and compare it with our lives. And this brings us back to my point in the opening scenes in the life of Job. Do you remember God's question to Satan in Job chapters 1 and 2? This was God's question. Have you considered my servant Job? In that question, I believe we learn that God chose Job to be his servant, and likewise God chose Job to suffer. Job became unto God a suffering servant. God says, my servant Job. Job is the servant of God. God chose Job to serve him. And then Job is plunged into much suffering. We have covered his suffering in detail already. So that what God is doing is to sovereignly, according to his good pleasure, God is choosing Job to be his servant, and God is choosing Job to suffer. And I believe it is the exact same way with us. Christians are chosen by God to be God's servants and also to suffer as his servants, so that our suffering comes along with our service. It is an indisputable fact that all of God's servants suffer. At some point in our Christian lives, we will suffer. We will not all suffer the same, but we will have turmoil, testing, heartache and pain, disappointment, sorrow, anguish, and persecution. We must understand we've been chosen to suffer. There is no escaping this. Suffering is a part of the normal Christian life. We saw this in Job, and most profoundly, we see this in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have read the life of Christ in the Gospels, right? You have read of how his enemies ruthlessly pursued him and of his torment and crucifixion on the cross, right? You believe he died, don't you? Wouldn't you agree Jesus suffered? We know that God chose Jesus from before time began to be our Savior. Yes, Jesus himself was chosen to be the suffering servant. And my brother, my sister in Christ, if Jesus was chosen, and if Jesus was chosen to suffer, then why would we be any different? Oh, let me be careful here. I am not saying we will suffer in the same way Jesus did. For example, only Jesus suffered for our sins. He died to take our sins away. Jesus suffered. In fact, Jesus suffered far more than we ever will. And here's a profitable exercise for us. If you would be willing to carve out some time from your busy schedule, sit down with your Bible, maybe a coffee or a tea, and read Isaiah chapter 53. You will read about Jesus, the suffering servant. Isaiah is in the Bible's Old Testament. Open to Isaiah chapter 53 and read it. It's just 12 verses, and they are packed with a punch. Here is awesome truth about Jesus. To really know Jesus, know Isaiah chapter 53. Let me just take time to read you one verse. This is Isaiah 53, verse 10. Actually, it's only the first half of verse 10. Isaiah 53:10 reads, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief." The Lord here is God the Father, and the him is capital H, meaning Jesus. God was pleased. There is that word pleased again. It pleased God to crush Jesus. And of course, the context of this crushing, this grief, is the cross of Christ. Sovereignty again. God does whatever he pleases, and it pleased God the Father to crush, to put to grief Christ on the wooden cross. In Hebrew, this is better translated, "He made him sick." That is, God made Jesus sick. This whole chapter will make you wince if you love Jesus. But as a Christian, it will also make you rejoice, be thankful, grateful, and be glad for all that Jesus has done for you. If you are holding out on Jesus, not yet his disciple, then read Isaiah chapter 53 and be convicted of your need for him. Find in this one chapter how much Jesus Christ loves you and what he has done also for you. For you. We do not suffer to the extent Jesus did. While Jesus had no sin, he died a torturous death for our sins. Christians will never die for our sins. Did you catch that? Let's never get over it. Christians will never die for our sins because Jesus has already died for all of our sins. Thanks and praise be to God. What a joy it is to be in Christ. Yet, still, Christians always suffer. We are just like our Lord and like his first disciples. Christians are chosen by God to be God's servants and also to suffer as his servants, so that our suffering comes along with our service. Let's talk more about this when you join me tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.